And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. My guest this half hour, U.S. Representative Abby Finkenauer of Iowa's 1st District. You can join us with your questions. We'll entertain as many as we can in the half hour that we have. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. You can also email rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. We also have a number of questions listeners have already shared with us via social media. We'll be asking Representative Finkenauer to respond to. Congresswoman Finkenauer, welcome to our program. The first conversation we've had since the start of this pandemic.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ben. I really appreciate it. And always like any chance we can to connect with Iowans, especially right now where we've had to be very creative.
Right. I hope you and your family are well. Let me just say that from the start. We wish everybody that when we... Let's have you respond to the breaking news. I'm sure you've seen it within the last hour. Governor Kim Reynolds ordering people in northeastern Iowa in your district to limit their activity, including keeping visiting to only immediate family members in reaction to a spike of COVID activity there. Almost all gatherings outside of the immediate household banned as of midnight tonight until April 30th. Over a dozen counties in northeast Iowa affected here. According to the governor, that region hit a 10 on the 12-point scale that she's using with the Iowa Department of Health. Give us your reaction to this latest step.
Well, thanks, Ben. And obviously, I am very concerned about my district in particular, which this, I mean, Region 6 covers most of my district. It's something that I've been concerned about for a very long time, especially, you know, it was 3 weeks ago tomorrow that I was on the floor of the U.S. House about to speak on the coronavirus package, the stimulus package number 3, and I was told about a minute before I was going to speak that we lost 2 more of my constituents in this district, that totaled 3 at the time. We've now lost 33 constituents in my district, over 60 Iowans, and I am heartbroken. And I you know, it's something that I watched starting to happen back then 3 weeks ago and, you know, had urged actually earlier that week before I did it publicly that Friday for the governor to issue a stay-at-home order. This was something that wasn't just for the health and safety of Iowans, which obviously it would have been, but also for our food supply chain and for the rest of the country. You see, I know in my district in particular, we make the country's food. It is our meat processing, it is General Mills where we make cereal. It is, you know, so much a big part of that, that I know we needed to do everything we could to keep those essential workers safe. And I've been disappointed at the lack of urgency here from the state. There are some things that I've been, you know, I applaud the governor for with school closures and other steps that have been taken. But to have now at this point, well, 3 weeks ago when we asked about this and asked about a stay-at-home order, we were told that there were metrics in place that they were following. There were regions that if they heard hit a certain number that they would issue a stay-at-home or shelter-in-place order. And now today, unfortunately, my district has hit that number because we have gotten it has gotten so bad here. And unfortunately, the governor has not taken those steps to issue a stay-at-home order. I understand that there is new guidance now, but what this does without actually taking those steps is actually cause even more confusion for people in my district and also across the state, wondering, you know, why has those steps not been taken? Why, you know, when you're talking about having those metrics and then you hit those numbers and you do not follow through with issuing those orders, you know, what does that mean? And it's just, it's not the time for confusion right now. We need to have some certainty here when there is so much confusion and uncertainty about so many parts of life. And I'm just disappointed that, you know, the governor did not follow through on what she said she was going to do when we asked about this 3 weeks ago.
Do you understand the governor's metrics that she's using?
Well, she has pointed out whether it's the number of outbreaks in long-term care facilities or the beds and ventilators available. I appreciate that. I do, you know what, we disagreed 3 weeks ago about the need to put a shelter in place or stay-at-home order in place then. She explained those metrics. And unfortunately, again, we've now have hit those metrics, and still she has not done what she said she was going to do. So I'm just disappointed and frustrated because these are the things we can't play games with here. We make the food for our country in the state of Iowa. We have got to keep our essential workforce as safe as possible, and it's not something you can gamble with. And I am very disappointed that, again, there's some lack of follow through.
Mm-hmm. Nursing homes. The virus has been particularly deadly among the elderly, and more than half of the deaths in our state, Congresswoman Finkenauer, have been among nursing home residents. One facility in Linn County, more than 100 residents and staffers testing positive in just one facility. I believe it's the Heritage Specialty Care. That's one alone. What are you doing to ensure the health of aging populations in these sort of facilities in your district? I know you're expressing frustration with the governor's actions in this case. What are you doing? What can you do? What levers do you have?
Yeah, so one of the big things is urging the production of personal protective equipment, that PPE. That is something that I have been pushing, I know, with a lot of my colleagues for the president to actually use the Defense Production Act to create PPE for our country. It makes no sense to me why he still has not done that and has left it up to the states and private entities to be able to acquire this versus just ordering the production of it. When we do not have proper PPE, we saw last week the governor issue the usage requirements because of the shortage that we have in our state. At the same time, we heard the president that same day at his press conference talking about how he's not hearing about shortages of PPE. That doesn't make any sense. We've been uplifting that our folks in our long-term care facilities who take care of our loved ones desperately need it. People in our food processing plants need it. And this, again, is something that should have been done a long time ago. We have now signed on to a bill where I am a co-sponsor that would actually require the president to use the Defense Production Act to make PPE. We gave him that power months ago, but he has refused to use it for PPE. And so, again, this bill would require him to do so. These are lives at stake, and the longer that, again, our folks do not have the protection that they need and deserve, and also the testing that they need and deserve, this is going to continue to happen the way that it is. And it is very frustrating and disappointing, and we're going to continue to beat the drum on that as much as possible.
Let me ask you this just bluntly, Representative Finkenauer. Have actions or what you have been describing as a lack of action by the federal government, by our state government in Iowa, cost lives in your estimation?
It has absolutely cost the safety of Iowans when you're talking about the lack of production of PPE and the amount that our folks on the front line are not protected as they should be, when we should have the ability as the United States of America to order businesses to create protective equipment for our folks on the front line. It is mind-blowing to me when we have some of the best manufacturing in the country, in our own state, and, obviously in the world, in the United States of America. And it's not enough just to ask big companies to come to you to say they're going to make it, because clearly it's not enough. And that's something that I, as a sitting U.S. Congresswoman who knows the power of our country and knows the need for us to, yes, come together to, go, all in right now for the manufacturing sector, who has stepped up in so many different ways, but does need that leadership from the President of the United States to say that we need you to produce, not just need you, we are demanding that you produce this, and that you, and that we have it in a coordinated way, getting out to our states and our facilities that desperately need it. This needs to happen, and we've been, again, beating the drum on this for over a month now, and it's just something that we'll continue to keep pushing. I I'm not the President of the United States. I cannot make those orders, but I can do everything in my power to make sure that what we're hearing on the ground here in Iowa is being uplifted in the best way possible.
If you've just joined us, Representative Abby Finkenauer is with us for another 10 minutes, speaking to us live. So many questions we won't get to. Let me go rapid fire through some of these, hopefully, and get to some more listener questions. There's a lot of meatpacking in your district, Representative Finkenauer, with large plants in Marshalltown, Waterloo, Postville, Tama. We're reporting on COVID-19 outbreaks in facilities like these in Iowa and the pressure workers face to keep on working, even if they're sick. What should the federal government do to ensure working conditions in these plants are safe?
Well, for one thing we're looking at, especially on this next package, is requiring enforceable, and that's a big word there, enforceable, that is, I mean, very important, to make sure that we have safety standards for the employers of essential workers, so that we make sure that if we find out that companies are not abiding by these safety standards that should be in place for our essential workforce in these food processing plants, that there is some enforcement. Unfortunately, we are not seeing that at the moment. We also need to have, hazard pay for our essential workers, and we need to expand access to rapid testing. I know there have been more tests sent to the meatpacking plants that have had issues. There is more. I mean, I'll tell you just anecdotally, within my congressional district, obviously we've got the Tyson's plant in Waterloo. We are hearing from folks. I know I've talked to state representatives who represent that area who are hearing from folks who are scared to talk about what is going on because they're afraid about their jobs. And I will tell you, I have a lot of concerns from what we are hearing, and we need to be pushing for more regulation. This is something actually that I have I'll be putting a letter into the Department of Labor and also OSHA, asking what are they doing and how are we increasing these standards. And to be frank with you, it's also ridiculous that the CDC has not yet issued real guidance to our food processing plants. We have guidance for the airline industry, but not for folks in our food processing plants. That makes no sense. And again, it's why I had been so concerned over 3 weeks ago, saying that we need to take every step possible to protect our essential workforce here. Like I said, we do make the food for the nation in Iowa. And it's also about our producers as well. So our hog producers in particular, who I know sell to the Waterloo plant, we need to make sure that, yes, we keep that plant up and running, but only if it is if it is safe and if, certain precautions are taking place. But we need to make sure, again, that is happening, because if we don't, then we are going to have a large shutdown, and that hurts our hog producers, and they can't afford that right now on top of it. So it's not enough. I would tell you this, it's not enough to just tell Tyson to do something and hope that they do it.
You have to. You're saying you have to enforce it. We get your message, Congresswoman. Yes. Finkenauer. Let me ask you about the CARES Act. Several of our listeners want to know about that. This is the law meant to address the economic fallout of this horrendous pandemic. Iowans will soon be getting payments mandated by that act. How do you feel about the criteria? This is such a huge bill. How do you feel about the criteria for these federal stimulus payments?
Yes. So for the cash assistance payments, I'll be frank, I'm frustrated that it is taking so long to get out to folks. I know ones who have direct deposit should have been seeing those yesterday and this week. The checks should also be out in the mail sooner than later as well. Unfortunately, I think we all saw this yesterday, the president now issuing that his name must be on them, which has delayed the printing of those, which is unconscionable to me when folks need them. I think we need to be looking at, also as we look at this fourth package, more cash assistance payments as well for folks who are worrying about paying their rent, paying their mortgage, how they're going to feed their families when they've lost their job over no fault of their own. And $1,200, a one-time payment, is just quite frankly not enough when this is an ongoing pandemic. We need to make sure that folks have what they need.
Okay. Noelle, with a follow-up on this issue. Noelle, one of our listeners, writes us an email. She was asking about a report that she saw that this new act gives some tax breaks to millionaires. We did some fact-checking on that. A report from the nonpartisan congressional body shows that more than 80% of the benefits of a tax change tucked in this coronavirus relief package passed by Congress would benefit those earning $1 million or more. This has to do with a provision temporarily suspending certain limitations on what are called pass-through businesses. What is your comment, your reaction to that?
Yeah, I can tell you this. Everything in the CARES Act was not everything that at least House Democrats wanted to make sure that it was. We fought for a lot of different provisions, specifically, upping the unemployment benefits and also making sure that we were taking care of folks who needed paid leave as well. Unfortunately, there is different parts of it that would be different if we had our way, but we are negotiating with the Senate as well as the president. When it comes to making sure that our folks are taken care of, you know, there's plenty more that we need to do and fixes that can be made in the fourth package, and that's why we need to continue to push for these for our working families. It's something that, I went to Washington to have the backs of working families, and there is plenty, I can tell you this, more work to be done on that end to make sure that folks in Iowa are actually seeing what we're doing. And it's why we've been playing oversight, really, with a lot of these agencies. So we have, you pass the CARES Act with certain dollar amounts allocated to different agencies. Unfortunately, then these agencies are then creating the rule of how this is doled out. And that is also where we can see some issues happening. For example, our farmers were cut out of the SBA loan and then protection program after we had written it so that they wouldn't be. But because of the way the SBA decided to interpret it and write the rule, they cut them out of it. That's a fix that we're looking at as well. And we're continuing to push things like that because it's just We just have to keep playing oversight, and we'll continue to do so to make sure this actually impacts and helps people in the district that I represent and in our state.
5 more minutes approximately with Representative Abby Finkenauer of Iowa's 1st District. This question from Michael of Cedar Rapids. He's asking, what steps are you and Congress taking to ensure the general November elections occur as scheduled? He asks, is Congress being proactive? Are there any bills being written or proposed to allow a full write-in vote, voting by mail, I guess? And those who've been following this have been hearing some distressing things about how the elections may be in danger of taking place. Is that what you're hearing?
I'm still confident we're going to have our elections in November. In fact, that is part of what I know we're working on in this fourth package as well. There was some assistance to our states, actually, our Secretary of State in different states throughout the country to deal with the primary election season that we are all in right now, making sure that those go off with the resources to have mail-in voting. I know that those are resources that we provided to the state of Iowa. And in the state of Iowa, I mean, we are we know how to, vote by mail. That is something that we've done for years here, and we believe in the security of it. Unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation out there in other states about vote by mail. And it's something that, yes, we desperately need to make sure that every state in our country has access to this and that it works for every state in our country. And obviously, yes, in a secure way. So that's something we'll continue to look at, too, in this fourth package to make sure that states have what they need to be able to have these elections in a safe, secure way that, that doesn't put anybody at risk by having to get out to the voting centers.
Perhaps quickly, in a minute or two before we have to say goodbye, this question from Kelly on Facebook, one of your constituents. She writes, I've been an early childhood professional for 19 years in the Cedar Rapids area. Mm-hmm. I'm very concerned about the childhood profession. Many of the solutions outlined in the CARES Act may help, but are far less than what will be needed. There's so much red tape making it difficult to apply, access, and pay back the loans. Have you, she asks, you and your colleagues considered how the federal government can supplement the child care industry further and plan for the future?
Yes, actually. So she's right on. This is something, and access to child care and affordable child care is something that we actually worked on quite a bit even before this pandemic hit. So we held hearings on I chair the subcommittee called Rural Development, Ag, Trade, and Entrepreneurship on the Small Business Committee. And so Child care is a huge issue, not just obviously in Cedar Rapids, some of our bigger cities, but also our rural areas and having access to good quality child care. So we had been looking at proposals before this that we'll continue to be pushing to make sure that we're getting grants out there to folks who need it to actually have, you know, for our kids to have what they need. It's so important early on. But in particular, as she's talking about, you know, red tape and being able to apply for things, this is why we're doing the oversight we're doing with these agencies. Asking how exactly is this getting out to people and trying to cut down on what it, you know, on how much this takes for people to actually get those dollars in. Because I asked advice from lawmakers who had worked through 08 and with the recession and also the floods in Iowa and saying, how can I be better and make sure that these funds are actually getting to our state? And a big part of that is oversight and asking where these funds are going and getting that information out to our constituents. So we'll continue to do that. And please, if you have questions very specifically about any of these funds, go to finkenauer.house.gov/coronavirus. And then there's a form there that you can fill out to let us know what you're seeing and any issues that you have. And we are happy to help. This is the best part of my job is getting to actually make sure that these programs are working for my state and we're actually seeing those benefits.
Okay, thank you very much for joining us live this half hour, U.S. Representative Abby Finkenauer of Iowa's 1st District. We appreciate your time. Stay well, stay safe, Representative Finkenauer.
Thanks, Ben. Stay well, and stay well to everybody out there. Thank you.
Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll have a News Buzz edition. Back to that, we'll look at new data that shows how Black and Hispanic Iowans are disproportionately testing positive for COVID-19. Also, we'll hear from an Iowan just released from 2 weeks in urgent care due to the virus. Tomorrow on our News Buzz edition of River to River, I'm Ben Kiefer. Hope you'll join us then.